We're in John 6 today, 6, 24 through 35. Got a lot of ground to cover here, so we're just going to jump right into it. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for the food that spoils, but work for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must he do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "then always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Let's pray. God, we thank you that you're a God who feeds us. You feed us through your word, and you're so willing to give us everything we need to know you and to make you known, and to be filled up with everything we need in life and for eternity. God, we thank you that you are a God who speaks and you fill us up. We pray that you would do that today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we really get into our primary text for today, I would like to really set the context a little bit, especially with this one, because Jesus' conversation that he has and the text that I read has a lot to do with what happened prior to this. What's going on is it's a miracle that Jesus performed prior to this. That is the only miracle that is found in all four Gospels. The only miracle that isn't the resurrection found in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The only non-resurrection miracle in all four. And this is the feeding of the 5,000. And as we know, if something is repeated, it's important. There's something God wants us to get with that miracle, with the feeding of the 5,000. And you must remember, the Holy Spirit does not get paid by the page. And neither did the gospel writers, just to make filler in the Word of God. God repeats himself for a reason, not to hear his voice, hear his own voice, but that we would hear what he is saying, what he's shouting to us. So when God repeats something, we ought to listen up. And looking at that miracle, the feeding of the 5,000, which really was about 15,000 people if you include the families, give or take, of course, we see with the miracle that Jesus, of course, one thing we see clearly is that Jesus performed a miraculous sign showing he has the power of God. He is God in the flesh. Now, there's been liberal commentators that try to explain away this miracle. They try to say, this one's kind of funny, that the disciples beforehand, before the miracle, they went ahead and got a bunch of food, bread and fish, and they hid it in the cave. And Jesus just kind of backed up, grabbed the bread and the fish, looking like he reproduced the boys' lunch that was given to him. Now, first off, I think that's kind of crazy because they're in a remote place, right? And what bakery in a remote place like that nearby is going to be able to provide enough bread for about 15,000 people, right? And how do they even get it there, right? And then also the fish. You know, Jesus hung out with a lot of fishermen, right? We had disciples, but even all of them put together couldn't produce enough fish to feed all these people and keep it fresh, right? Because there was no refrigeration back then, was there? So I have a hard time believing that thought, you say. Then there's others that would say, Jesus performed the miracle of convincing people to give up what they had, that he used this young boy who offered up his lunch to motivate other people to give up what they were hoarding, maybe in their baskets, and find out that there was enough and even more than enough for everyone there. The problem with that one is God would be clear if that's the lesson he wanted us to get out of it, that this would be a miracle of generosity. He mentions there's just one boy who offers something up, and it says nothing about the people offering anything up. So I say with this miracle, as God has repeated it often, we see Jesus is God. He did a miraculous sign. He showed he was the Son of God. And I think it takes more faith to believe those other ones anyhow, right? But even more so, I would say what God is shouting to us, that Jesus is, he's the bread of life. There is a hunger deep down inside of us that only Jesus can satisfy. A need that only he can fulfill, and that is our greatest need. Well, as the story goes, Jesus feeds the multitude. And then afterwards, they have their bellies full, feeling pretty good, seeing this compassionate man of God, the Son of God, who does miracles for them. They want to force him to be king. You think about that, he's compassionate, he has power. Yeah, this is the Messiah we were expecting. They were expecting a political Messiah that would overthrow Rome, but God sent him to overthrow their sin that was taking them captive. And so when they try to force him to be king, by the way, we have to be careful of that, forcing Jesus to be something other than he is, forcing him to be something just for our agenda, right? So what does Jesus do? He departs. He lovingly departs because they try to force him to be king. And he sends the disciples off. They go off across the lake, and then he goes off to pray, and later on meets up with them. That's when he walks on water. But once he gets to the other side, the crowd realizes that he nor his disciples are there anymore. And so what do? They search for him. They go to Capernaum to find Jesus. And when they find him, they ask, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" And I love how Jesus responds to this. He did not answer that question, but he goes straight to the point. He says, "Let's not talk about why I'm here. Let's get to the point. The reason you're here is not because of the miraculous signs I performed showing that I was the Messiah, because I'm the Messiah. You're here because you got your bellies filled up. You ate the bread, you ate the fish, and you were filled up. You had your fill." And before we judge these people, we have to understand what life was like for them, what life was like for Jews especially in that time. Now first, you got to remember, there was no refrigeration, like I said, and people didn't have pantries either that you could just store food for the week, right? It's part of why Jesus says, you know, give us today our, not weekly bread, right? Our daily bread, because almost 90% of people of that day did what's called subsistence living. That means a lot of people were day laborers, almost 90%, meaning that you work for the day, maybe in the fields or whatever, and you get paid for that day. And the money you get from that provides for the food you need for the next 24 hours. And so it wasn't too hard to find people that were hungry. And like I said, that's why it makes perfect sense why Jesus said, "Pray, give us today our daily bread." So a lot of people were hungry. These people were hungry. And if a guy comes by and miraculously provides food for me, I didn't have to do anything for it, just be there, you better believe I'm going to show up there again, right? So we got to be quick not to judge these people. And Jesus knew, as we see, why they were there. And knowing that, he did not We don't see him shame them. He didn't shame them. He didn't rub it in their face for being there for the wrong reason, but he lovingly guided them to their greater need, their spiritual need. He says, do not work for food that spoils, but food that endures to eternal life, that which the Son of Man will give you, and only he can give you. Now, Jesus was not saying, hey, don't work. He wasn't telling us, hey, don't do any work. Because that's against what he says in his word. And also, you know, Paul would have never said, if man does not work, he does not eat, right? Paul would have never said that. So Jesus is not saying, do not work. No, he's saying work. But don't just work primarily for food. Don't work and give all your energy of your whole life just for food or for comfort. Don't just work and live your life to get that greater, bigger bank account, or that larger home, or that bigger garage for more cars, or a newer car. Don't work and give all your energy for those things that the world chases after. I love that we see what the rich young ruler said to Jesus. He had it all. He had all with it. He had power. He had money. All that the world gives, right? And what he says to Jesus, I have kept all these commandments. What do I still lack? And I think you know why he said that? Because he knew he lacked something. He knew there was something still lacking. He had everything in the world could give him, and there was still an emptiness, an uneasiness inside. He had worked so hard for the food that spoils rather than the food that leads to eternal life. And Jesus offered him that meal. He says, he offered him a meal that wouldn't spoil you. He says, take all that you have, give, sell it, give all to the poor. He gave him an opportunity to have some of that bread that didn't spoil, to exchange what he had, the physical, material stuff that was his God, and to exchange it for treasure in heaven. But he declined. And as we know, he left bummed out. Now today I asked, are you working for food that spoils? Ask yourself that question. Am I working for food that spoils? Am I giving all my energy, all my thoughts, all my attention for those things that will just fade away one day? For those things that will spoil? Yeah, it might be material possession, things, or maybe materialism that grips you, trying to find God in material and things, in the abundance of things. And Jesus said, you're not going to find eternal life there. And maybe you don't struggle with material or materials themselves. Maybe the appearance that you have material and how you look towards other people and how it makes you feel, how other people think about you or look at you. Or if it's not material, maybe image. Maybe you're putting all your energy and all your life towards looking good. Now, that could be a teenage girl trying to be attractive and to look, spend her whole life, every day, just trying to look good to please her friends, to please boys, and to get and find out she's still lacking. Or maybe it's with a boy that wants to like look strong and smart, and after all the people, he gets the acceptance of man, finds out he's still lacking something. And I'm not going to just pick on the teens today, but we'll go to the adults, or all of us here, really. We're going to church trying to look good, trying to have that image at church, whether it's wearing the nice tie or actually putting on a mask, making yourself look more spiritual than you really are. All about looking good. And as we know, we're not going to be satisfied in those things. Pleasing man, it'll spoil one day. Working for the approval of man rather than the approval of God. Now, some of you know I worked at Cheddar's. It's a restaurant. I was a server while I was in seminary, and it was not very hard to find people and see how people act when they're hungry. And that's a place where you want to be tested. I mean, you get tested as a server also because you're hungry and you're serving food. That's hard. It really, you really learn, you see where you're maybe you're lacking spiritually in those moments. But as a server, you see people come in that are hungry. And most of them act, when they're hungry, rude, right? Impatient, inconsiderate. Now, physical hunger always has a good way of testing us, not so that God can see what's in us. He knows what's in us. But so that we can see what's in us. See, we're in a way where we're spiritually lacking. Because as you know, when you're hungry, that's usually when you're the weakest. And going to a restaurant, normally hungry, right? Then having to wait longer than anticipated. I'm sure, you know, as sanctified believers, we never got mad waiting for a meal, have we? But really, that really reveals to us there's need for some growth. Need for more focus on the true bread from heaven that endures to eternal life. Now, as you guys, most of you guys probably know Snickers. What does Snickers say? If you're hungry, why wait? If you're hungry, why wait? And you're not who when you're hungry? You're not you when you're hungry. You're not yourself when you're hungry. Now, I like to say, actually, I think you're most you when you're hungry. You see yourself for who you really are when you're most hungry. You're not somebody else. You're you. We see ourselves in those moments, and we see where we're lacking. We see where we're in need of some more sanctification, I guess you would say. Now, as a believer, if you're quick to get angry in a lot of circumstances, that doesn't necessarily, I'm not trying to say you're unsaved, but maybe just unfed. You're not feeding right. You're not going to the right source for your spiritual food. Feeding on junk food rather than spiritual junk food rather than on Christ and being left hungry and wanting. And if you want to see signs, maybe to help us, if we want to see signs to show us that we're hungry, we can turn to Galatians chapter 5, and in there Paul gives a list, not an exhaustive list. It's not all the acts of the flesh, the sinful flesh, but he gives some there, like selfish ambition, impurity, discord, jealousy, and things like that. Those are marking my life. That's showing me I'm relying on the flesh, and I'm seeking the sinful flesh more than I am the true bread from heaven, that I'm seeking after Christ, who will satisfy my hunger. That will reveal to me that I'm hungry if I see that happening in my life. For the fact that I'm doing that, showing me there's a need and I'm not satisfied. As G.K. Chesterton has said, a man that knocks on the door of a brothel, prostitution house, is knocking for God. Pretty much saying, he's trying to fill that need, satisfy that need that only God can give, and trying to find it in the wrong places, showing there's still a need. There's still a hunger there. And for us, if we look, continue, if that's not enough for us to see the acts of the sinful flesh that may be in our lives, if I look a little further, we see a list, well, we see the fruit of what? Fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit really, it shows what happens in someone's life, what is produced in someone's life who is submitting to the Spirit, who is submitting to Christ, feeding on Christ, the true bread from heaven. If I look down that list and I don't see a lot of that in my life, then I have to say, hey, there's something missing. I need to change something. Something needs to change. If I don't see a lot of peace, love, kindness, self-control in my life, something needs to change. I'm still hungry. And God surely does not include these things in Scripture to beat us down. He's not a big bully. He doesn't have to do that. He knows who he is. He doesn't have to use people to make himself feel better. He puts things like this in Scripture because he loves us, and he wants us to see our need. He wants us to be satisfied and where it matters most. And if we do that, if we see that and we change and we repent, we turn and go and feed off of Christ, whether it be through more Bible meditation, or through more service with the right heart, or maybe through more worship, whatever draws you near to the true bread. Once I eat of it, I'll find out and realize, just like John Piper has said, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. The more I'm feeding on Christ, seeking Him through prayer, Bible meditation, through service with the right heart, the more He's going to be seen in me and glorified. And if that's happening, the more strength I have against temptation. Just think about this. If I'm physically hungry, you know, I worked all day and I wasn't able to eat lunch or whatever, and I come home and there's some junk food, whatever you want to put in there for junk food, I'm going to jump right on that, right? Nothing's stopping me. Nothing's getting in my way of eating that. I'm going to fall quickly, and I'm going to eat it. Like a hungry Rottweiler on a steak. But if I just got done eating a meal at Jethro's, had some juicy ribs, mouth-watering brisket, and some potatoes. I know I'm playing with you guys here. It's lunchtime. If I just had a full meal at Jethro's and I'm satisfied, and I go home and I see that same temptation, that junk food, I'm going to say, oh, no, I'm good. I'm full. I'm satisfied. Same thing in the spiritual realm. If I'm satisfied as God leads me to be by feeding upon Christ daily. Remember, it's daily, and I think part of when Jesus said, give us today our daily bread, I think He's talking more than about physical food, but spiritual food, the bread of life, daily, not weekly, daily. If I'm daily feeding on the Word and the Word of Christ and the true bread from heaven, when that temptation comes, I'm going to be saying, I'm good. I'm good to go. And if you have trouble believing that Jesus really is the one that can satisfy us, that He is the true bread from heaven, if you have trouble with me saying that, listen to the Father. Let's see what the Father says. As Jesus said, the Father has placed His seal of approval on Him. In the ancient world, it wasn't the signature, not the signature that authenticated something, whether it be a will, a commercial or political document, something that, let's say I bought a crate with product in it, and it wasn't a signature that authenticated that. It was a seal. They would use a signet ring seal to show that it was the real deal, that it was authentic. And the rabbis would have a saying that the seal of God is truth. It's quite interesting. If you look at the Hebrew alphabet and the Hebrew language, you'll know that they didn't use vowels at first. It was just consonants. But that in the Hebrew, if we look at the alphabet, the very first letter is Aleph. The very middle one of the alphabet is what's called Mem. And the very last is called Tau. And it's pretty awesome that the word for truth in the Hebrew are those three letters, Aleph, Mem, Tau, put together, showing that the truth of God is the very beginning, the very middle, and the very end of life. And finding everlasting life in the truth of God. You'll find it all in God and His truth. And now Jesus, when He came, what was He? He was what in the flesh? The Word made flesh. His very self, He was the seal of truth, the seal of God, which is truth. He was the truth incarnate. And a visible seal that God put on Him was, as we see at this baptism, when the Spirit descended on Him like a dove, and then God said, "This is My Son, with whom I am well pleased." And if that's not enough for you, then when Jesus predicts that he's going to die, how he's going to die, and he does so, and he rises again, maybe that's enough to show that he's the real deal. He's the Messiah and the Son of God. But like the men of this story, we might hear that. We might hear that truth, and at the very end, say, I don't want, that's all right, I'm good. That's what these guys did. They said, well, this is a hard truth for us to accept, eating the flesh, drinking the blood. We just don't get this. Then they left. The teaching got hard, and they departed. And today, I would say, if we've heard that truth, that Jesus is the bread of life, the only one who can truly satisfy us, and you see that you are hungry, see that you're hungry, I would say take from a guy named Alex Bowen. Alex Bowen, it's a pretty cool story. You might have seen this guy before. I think this might have been a couple years ago on the news. This is Alex Bowen right here. And one night, you know, he was hungry. And when you're hungry at 2 a.m. in the morning, 3 a.m. down south, where do you go to eat? Waffle House. You go to the Waffle House and risk getting some kind of bacteria or whatever, but you go to the Waffle House, and his favorite burger was there, so that's where he went. Now, I don't know if he was out drinking or whatever with his friends. I don't know what he was doing before him, but he was hungry, and he went to the Waffle House. And when he gets to the Waffle House, he realizes there's nobody there except for him and the cook. And you know what the cook's doing? Sleeping. The cook's sleeping in the back. And you can Google photos of the cook if you want. And he took photos of him as well. So instead of waking him up, what's he do? He jumps the counter, cooks his own food. Cooks his own burger. That's what I would have done. If I'm hungry, I'm going to cook some food. And he paid for it. But yeah, of course, as you can see, he posted all kinds of pictures on social media. And he was hungry, and he did something about it. Alex Bowen was hungry. He did something about it. And if you've realized today, or if God is showing to you, there's a spiritual need, and you're hungry. Something needs to change. Do something about it. If you're hungry, why wait, right? Do something about it. When Jesus said himself, the Son of Man, he will give it to you. He said he's more than willing to give this bread from heaven that endures to eternal life. And he doesn't shame us. He just says, just stop what you're doing and come. Come and I'll feed you. He's just waiting to feed us. Maybe you're today like our brother in Mark 9 who said, Jesus, I believe. Help me with my unbelief. Maybe you're seeing there's some unbelief that's coming out in a sign of in this showing that you're hungry. If that's you today, like I said, do something about it. Ask God, where do I need to change? Where am I daily walking with you? Am I daily in your word and in prayer? And am I serving you? Am I seeking to bring others to you as part of my walk of faith? And whatever it be, God knows what it is, and he'll speak it to you. And open yourself up to listen so that you can really be satisfied by the only one who can truly satisfy our deepest need. Well, let's pray together. God, we thank you that we don't have to go through a big list that we have to check off to come and eat the bread, but simply just turn and come to the living bread as we are hungry. You provide for us daily, just like you did for the Israelites with manna from heaven. Daily, you gave it from heaven. Daily, they had to go get it. Help us daily to eat of the bread of life that endures to eternal life, that fills us up now and leads us in everlasting life. We thank you that you're God of grace and leads us to do so, and you give us what we need to do it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.